See you all here tonight. See all your lovely faces. It's such a blessing. Praise the Lord. Well, you're stuck with me again because Pastor is in Tulsa at a camp meeting or a winter revival, something like that. Oh, winter Bible seminar. There we go. In my mind, it's a winter revival. A winter time of refreshing. That's what keeps going in my head. Praise the Lord. Well, we're just praying that Pastor is just being blessed and filled up and refreshed because it is not easy to be a pastor. That is not an easy job, let me tell you. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just open up with prayer before we get into the Word tonight. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you tonight, Father. Lord, we just come before you, Father, and we just ask you to speak to us tonight, oh God. Lord, impart something new into our hearts and into our spirits. Lord, encourage us and uplift us, motivate us, and fill us fresh and fill us anew tonight. Lord, we know that your word is alive. We know that your word is not dead. So, Lord, let your word speak to us, Lord. Let it speak to the deep places in us. Lord, your word says that the deep calls out to the deep. Lord, the deep places in us are calling out to the deep places of God. And Lord, we just ask you, Father, to stir the deep places in us. We just ask you to come and speak and minister to our hearts through your word tonight, oh God. Lord, most of all, we just ask you to have your way. We just ask you to have your way, Father. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We lift your name up. But above all things, have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just praise you tonight, Lord. Oh, we just praise you tonight. Oh, we just praise you. Lord, I just praise you. I thank you, Father, for all that you're doing and all that you've done, oh God. I thank you, Father, that we don't serve a dead God, but we serve a living God, Lord, that knows what we need, that hears us when we cry out, Lord, that supplies the answer before we ever even ask it. Thank you, Father. Lord, you're such a good, good God, Lord. Oh, Father, you're just so good, and I just appreciate you so much, Lord. I just love you tonight. I just love you, Jesus. Have your way, Holy Spirit, in thy precious name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you will go with me in your Bibles, hallelujah, to Genesis chapter 13, I'm going to give you a little bit of background before we read the verse. So I just want to give you some background. This is after Abram has left his home. He's left his father and mother. He's left his home, and God has sent him to go out. He's going to find a new place. So with Abram, when he left his father's house, his nephew Lot went with him. And so his brother's son Lot accompanied him. And the word says that Abram at this point was rich. He had many flocks and herds, but he also had gold and silver riches also. Lot had herds. It doesn't mention anything about Lot being rich with gold or silver, but it said Lot also had herds. So here they are traveling the road together, but they're a ginormous group. They've got herds. They've got thousands of animals between the two of them that are having to graze. And they've got people that work for them, whether they were slaves or part of their tribe, however it was. They had herdsmen who took care of the herds. You know, you have sheep herders and you have goat herders and, you know, whatever else they had with them. They had herders. They had people to take care of these animals. So they were a huge group. It wasn't like, you know, 10 or 20 or 15. It was much, much more than that. It was so much. They were such a large group that they were taxing the land. And so they began to squabble, the herdsmen of Lot's and then the herdsmen of Abram's. They began to squabble over the watering and over the grasslands and over who was going to graze where. So that rose up between the two families, Lot and Abram, I keep saying it in Spanish. I apologize for that. I haven't spoke on him in English, I guess, since I've been back. So they were squabbling their workers amongst each other, and they were having difficulties and arguments and drama. Oh, gosh, drama. Lots of drama was going on here. And I can imagine that this was a difficult time for Abram as well as for Lot, because you've got contention between the two camps. You've got bickering going on, and you've got strife and divisions going on. So I can imagine this was a really difficult place to be in. Have you ever felt like you were in that place? There was contentions between you and someone else, or your family and someone else's family that's your family, but you're separated, and there's bickering, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. The word in Mexican, in Spanish that I love, it's called pleitos, and it sounds like play, which reminds me of drama. Drama. It's a great word. Pleitos. There was just little dramas, pleitos, cropping up everywhere. And I have been in situations where all around me there's just drama. You know, I don't want to be in the middle of it, but somehow I am, and there's just drama in the camp. Have you ever felt like you've been there? There's just drama in the camp, and you're just like out of it. Well, I imagine Abram and Lot felt much like that. You know, there's a lot of drama going on, and we can't have this because drama leads to strife and divisions, and that leads to separation, and not good separation. Sometimes it's good to take a step back and say, you know, I'm just gonna separate for a little while just to get myself, you know, fixed up, cleaned up, healed up, worked up, and then we'll see each other again. But here they are. They've got all this going on. And it's certainly not what they wanted, and it certainly wasn't a good place or a good time to be. And I, you know, we've all been there. We all understand what that place is. Now, after all this is going on, this is happening right now in Abram's life. So Abram talks to Lot and says, let's not have anything between us. So you look around. I love the way Abram did this. Abram didn't pick where he wanted to go. He gave Lot the first choice. How many of us, when we've got to make that kind of a choice, we make it first? Okay, listen, I'm going to go this way because it looks like the best, and you can get stuck that way. Because isn't that where, you know, your first intention lies? Oh, there's two pieces of cake and one is slightly bigger. Hard choice there. I'm going to take this one, the big one, because I'm the one taking it. Right? We know what that place is, right? Don't look at me like, oh, I've never done that. Don't look at me like that. And so Abram has a talk with Lot, and he said, hey, let's not have division between us. We are family. You are my family. So Abram said to him, you choose what direction you want to go, and I will go the opposite. You choose. And do you know what he chose? The best. He saw that there was a river flowing through this valley, and it was plentiful, and it was well watered. And, you know, out in the desert, that's the most important thing, is that there is water. And he said, okay, I'll go this way. Abram didn't complain. He didn't grumble. I probably would have if somebody took the bigger cake and I knew that there was a bigger one and I got the small one. I'd have complained. Hey, wait a minute. I'm the oldest in this house. Why wasn't the big piece left for me? Abram wasn't like that, praise the Lord. And now is the verse. Genesis 13, 14 and 15. We're just going to read the first part of 14. And the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now. And look from the place where you are. And then he went on to tell him, you know, look to the north, the east, the south, the west. That's what he said. Doesn't matter. The important point is, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Oh, praise the Lord. Abram was passing through the land. This was not where he was going to stay. He was just on a journey. But everywhere Abram went, as far as he could see, God told him to go out and walk the land. Walk it as far in each direction that he could. And he did that. And he told Abram, everywhere you walk, I am giving this land to your descendants. Woo, I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps. Everywhere I said Lot. Everywhere Abram went, excuse me, everywhere Abram went, God was giving that land to his descendants. He had him walk the length and the width of the land and see how gigantic it was. But he was not only showing him how big it was, but he was staking a claim on the land for Lot's descendants before he had descendants up. Is that what you're saying? Abram, I keep saying Lot. I'm sorry, I apologize. Thank you. That's why she sits there. Not just for Pastor Bruce, but apparently for me too. Praise the Lord. Lord, help me to stop doing that. So as far as Abram could walk in any direction, God was giving him that land for his inheritance, for his descendants. At this moment, he had no descendants. God was preparing the inheritance of the descendants of Abram before he even had them. He was in the middle of struggle. He was in the middle of strife. And I imagine he was frustrated. And the Lord said to him, in the middle of his frustration, in the middle of his hardship, in the middle of this trial and this struggle, the Lord said to him, look up. Look up. Look up to me. Look up to me. And the Lord began to speak to him about what he was doing. Oh, lift up your eyes from the place where you are. You know, sometimes we're in the middle of a struggle. We get so focused. All we can see is the struggle in front of us. All we can feel is the tension and the strife and the division. And we can't think of anything else. When we lay down at night, that's all we can focus on. That's all we can think about is the struggle, the trial, and the tribulation that we're in. But Abram was in that place. And the Lord said to him, look up. This isn't where you're going. This isn't where you're staying. This is but a moment. You're just passing through here. You know, and if we could remember that. We're in the middle of a trial. And we're in the middle of a struggle. This isn't where it ends. This isn't the end. This isn't how it's always going to be. We're just passing through this land. Oh my gosh, this just got me so excited when the Lord began to speak this to me. So where you're at, so Abram's place, the place where he was, even though it was a place of struggle and a place of torment and drama, he was in the middle of what God was going to do for his descendants. He was passing through the land, and everywhere he went, it was being claimed for his descendants. So what Abram was going through in that moment and where he was going to wasn't just for him. And when we're going through struggles, and when we're going through trials and tribulations, it's not just for us. It's not about us. It's also about the future generations that are following us. The things I learn in this struggle, the things I learn in this horrible, difficult place full of drama is not just for me, but it's for my children and my grandchildren and their children after them. That changes the whole perspective. Because what wouldn't I go through for my children or my grandchildren? If it was just me, I'd bail ship. I'm done. I'm out of here. But it's not just them or just me. It's them. It's for their future, for their inheritance. And that's how God works. You know, we feel just the moment, but God doesn't just see the moment. God doesn't just see where we're at now. He knows where we're going. He knew exactly where Abram was headed and where Abram was going. And not only did he know that, he knew that one day the children of Israel, the descendants of Abram, would be slaves in Egypt. And then he was going to take them out of Egypt and take them back to the land where Abram walked the width and the birth for the glory of God. And so where you and I are is not where we're going. It's not where we're staying. But it is for a purpose. It is for a purpose. And not just in our own life, but in the lives of our children and our children's children. And that gets me excited. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we get so focused on what we're where we're at right now that we lose the bigger picture. We forget to raise our eyes up, to look up. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you're training horses, and especially horses that are going to drive carts, but it's very common to put what they call blinders on the horses. And it just goes on the side like this, so they have no peripheral vision. Because when you're just training a horse, when you're just training it, everything startles it because it's so new at a saddle and a rider and a bit in its mouth. It's so new to everything that it just startles and jumps very easily. And so they put blinders on it, so all it can see is where the rider points the head. Just where the head's looking, that's the only thing they can see. They can't see what's going on out here. They can't see what's going on out here. All they can see is the road straight ahead. Sometimes we need blinders so that we can't see what's going on over here. We can't see the drama going on over here. All we can see is the Father. All we can see is the Lord. And that would keep us going straight. Well, life doesn't work that way, does it? We don't have blinders. But we need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord and remember that where we are today is for a purpose. Abram didn't know where God was taking him. Abram didn't know what God was planning. Abram didn't know what was going to go on in the lives of his descendants. He didn't know that they'd become slaves and then that God would give them freedom right out of slavery in miracle proportions. He didn't know. You and I only know because the Bible, and we can read it, but he had no idea. He was fatherless. His wife was barren. He had no clue that he was going to have descendants, that he was going to have children that would lead to more children, that he would have descendants that would number the sand. Hallelujah. You know, in Romans 12:18, the word says, as much as it's possible, or as much as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, that's exactly what Abram did. He didn't get caught up in the drama. He didn't get caught up in the fighting. But he overcame that situation through a good action. Okay, Lot, we're family. Let's not let there be anything between us. Let's keep our relationship strong. Choose where you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction. Even though the best was where Lot chose, Abram didn't take that choice for himself. He told him to choose. That was wisdom, and that was good overcoming evil. And sometimes we can diffuse a whole situation that's just a bomb waiting to go off by overcoming the evil with good, by overcoming it with love, because love is where it's at. Abram loved Lot so much, he didn't care that Lot chose the best. He wanted the best for Lot. I know that he had to know that Lot was going to choose the best, because in a desert, you want water. It makes sense. But Abram didn't care. He loved Lot so much. He wanted the best for Lot and let him go. Oh, if we can, in the middle of drama and division and all of that stuff, if we can remember to overcome evil with good, overcome evil with love, wow. How magnificent is God? How mighty is he? Hallelujah. Where we are is just a stepping stone to where God is taking us. Our battle is not flesh and blood. We are not fighting here for just the here and now, but we are fighting the spiritual battles for the inheritance of our descendants. Praise the Lord. And that's important. That's so much more important than just me and the here and now. That is so much bigger than just me. That is so much bigger than what I can even fathom. But God's already got a plan. He's got the plan that where I'm going, the land I take in the spiritual realm for the Lord is land that my descendants are going to walk through. Praise the Lord. I am winning spiritual battles now, not just for me or my sake, but for the sake of my children and my grandchildren who are watching me every day. Hallelujah. And maybe it's for the sake of your neighbors who are watching you, or your cousins, or your nieces, or your nephews. But let me tell you, your life is more than just your life, and it affects more than just you. It's like a rock thrown into a pond, and the ripples spread out, and it touches your family for generations to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God was shaping Abram's life. He was forming him, and he was preparing him for his purposes. This is so awesome. When we think of our purpose, sometimes we get caught up in thinking of one main thing. This is it. But do you know our life is filled with many purposes? Many purposes, one purpose over another purpose, and this purpose leads to that purpose. Our life is a purpose. The whole thing from beginning to end is a purpose in God's hands. Hallelujah. You know, when I got to Mexico, I began to realize this was my purpose. Oh, Lord, this was the reason I was born. I was born to be a missionary in Mexico. I was born for this. This is my calling. This is where I belong. And I finally found where I fit in. I finally found my place. Well, after 19 years and the Lord brought me back, I'm like, Lord, it's not my place anymore. Is my purpose over? Has it just ended? You're taking me home. I felt like I was being punished. I was being taken from my purpose, and I was just being set over there, and I was struggling inside myself. I was fighting with the Lord. Lord, this can't be. I'm not ready for my purpose to be over. I just got started. I just got started, Lord, please. And then the Lord gave me a word. Through Pastor Bruce, we went in to see him one morning. We were getting ready to head back to Mexico. And Pastor looks at me like he does, so calm and like, you know, no big deal. Nothing's going on. And he goes, hey, you know, the Lord wants you to know this is not punishment. You're not being punished. This is advancement. He is advancing you. And it broke every bit of struggle and strife going on in my heart. Because then I realized, you mean that's not just my purpose? That's not it. No, our purpose isn't just a single thing or a single moment. Our life is filled with purpose. Every day there's purpose. Every breath there's purpose. And the Lord brought me back here, and I have been so happy. I had no idea it would be like this. I had no clue. I thought it was punishment. It's not been punishment at all. It's been a blessing. It's been a marvelous and wonderful thing. And I even feel guilty saying that because I was so rooted into Mexico. When God moves us on, it's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. Even if we can't see the purpose in it because we're so busy seeing the struggle and the strife and the drama going on in our own hearts, that there's purpose in where He's taking us. Hallelujah. And there was purpose in where God was taking Abram. Hallelujah. Abram did so many magnificent things in his life. You know, not just to name a couple. Abram saved Lot's life twice. The first time, the enemies came in and stole him and his family and their treasures and herds. And an enemy king took him away. He was just gone. And some worker, somebody from Lot's household, managed to get away and ran and told Abram what was going on. And Abram, after the king of Sodom and Gomorrah and someone else, I don't remember who, joined together, they could not defeat the enemy tribe that was more than one group that had come after him. They couldn't defeat him. And that's how Lot got stolen and his family. And Abram, with way less herdsmen and way less men, went and defeated him, and got Lot back, and got the things back for the king and for the kingdom. Hallelujah. That was an amazing feat. That was a miraculous feat. And then He pleaded with God to save Lot's family again when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. What magnificent purposes! Who wouldn't be happy with that? But that's not where they ended. I mean, think of it. Abram gave birth to a son. Abram gave birth to Isaac. Ooh, and then down the line and down the line and down the line and down the line, and we get to Jesus. That is amazing. Back before Abram was born, before creation, God had put this plan in motion that the descendants of Abram, out of them would come Jesus. That is amazing. That is so much purpose. And so we have to remember that there is so much purpose. And it's not just about us and today and this struggle, but about our children and our grandchildren and their children and what they're going to inherit through our battles of today. Hallelujah. God was shaping Abram and forming him for a greater purpose, just like he is shaping you and I and forming you and I for a greater purpose. If you will just take a moment and look at this, I find this rock to be spectacular. If you were to look in my car, you would find rocks and shells and maybe a bird feather, because I'm a collector of odd things. Because I think they're, pine cones, yeah. Yep, pine cones. Because I just think they're so spectacular. Don't ask me why, I can't explain it. But look at this rock. Nothing great on its own, right? I mean, it is great. It's got curves and it's got ridges and bumps. It's got so much detail and depth and, you know, it's kind of beautiful. But it's just a starting place. So if we imagine for a moment that this rock is marble and that I'm a great sculptor and I'm going to take this rock and a chisel and a hammer and I am going to shape this rock into something more beautiful than this. That's kind of how God looks at our lives. You know, he looks at this and he doesn't just see this rock. Now, see, I look in the mirror and I still just see this rock. That's what I see. I just see this when I look in the mirror. Just a lump of something. Hard. Yeah, definitely hard. Definitely lots of curves and sharp edges. But when God looks at me, this isn't what he sees. He doesn't just see me in this form. But he sees me as I'm going to be. I was reading a book about a sculptor, and the sculptor said that each piece that he sculpts, the stone cries out to him of its shape. So even before he starts to chisel and hammer and knock away the rough edges, he already knows what he's making. And you know, when the Lord looks at us, and we're this hard piece of something, that isn't what he's seeing. He's seeing ahead. He's seeing the future. He's seeing what he's making us into being. And each of our struggles and each of our battles chips away and chips away at the stone until we become something totally different. Until we become something serviceable, something quite beautiful and quite extraordinary. And yet sometimes when we look at ourselves, that's all we see still. Because of the hardships and the trials and the struggles, that's what we see, but that isn't how God sees you. That isn't how he sees me. And that blesses my heart. That touches me. I am so grateful that it's God who is sculpting on me. That it's God who is shaping me and forming me. And if he uses the things that I am going through to shape me, all the better for it. You are his masterpiece. It says in Ephesians 2:10, For we are his workmanship. And another word for workmanship is masterpiece. Created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this rock, it would make a great stone wall, a doorstop, a paperweight if you've got a big enough desk. I have a buggered up, I have two buggered up toes because my daughter dropped a rock about this size on my left toe. It hurt so bad, my toe, from my toe knuckle to the tip of my toe turned purple. It was so horrible, I found a rock just like it and dropped it on my other one so they'd be matching. So it's really good for smashing things. And the effect it has left is my toe is still ugly colored, my toenail. It'll probably never be pretty again. But I don't know what else this is good for. But in the artist's hands, the artist who from a single word spoke into existence the heavens and the earth, that formed man with his very hands, this rock in his hands becomes something magnificent, something beautiful, something that you wouldn't look at and say, oh my goodness, you were an ugly old rock at one time. Because that's what God does with us in his hands. Praise the Lord. And in Jeremiah 18:6, the word says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So just for a moment, imagine this is a big block of clay. I took a pottery class once and only once for many purposes. Mostly because I'm not really that artistic. I have really super great ideas. Holy Spirit is like this perfect inspiration, right? But the application part, the part of getting it out of here with this here, it never works. And so they have these huge blocks of clay. And you have this little wire, and you take that wire, and you go cut off a chunk of clay. So imagine this is that big thing of clay, and we just cut off a little piece. And sometimes you use a whole big lump, and sometimes you use a little one. And then in the hands of the artist, that clay begins to take form. It begins to take shape. And the most magnificent things come out of clay, even though it starts as a lump very similar to this. But the word says that we are clay in the potter's hands. And he knows what he's shaping our life to be. He knows what he's shaping us, how he's shaping our heart. And what he's doing us is not just for today and the here and now. It's not just for a single purpose. It is for a life filled of purposes. It's not just for today, but it's for the future generations. You know, after coming back from Mexico, we live with my daughter and her children. And you know, my grandchildren's vocabulary is changing. You'll hear my grandson say, oh, heavens. Doesn't sound like something a 9-year-old would say. That's because it's an over 50 somebody who says that all the time. Oh, good gracious. That's a popular one too. Oh, good gracious. Because I'm with them every day. I am the school teacher. And today was not a day you wanted to be a school teacher. I'm just saying. If I look frazzled, there's a reason. And I have two students, not 25. Just saying. But I am shaping them, and I am forming them just by who I am. Just by who you and I are. We are touching someone else's life. We are showing them something else. What are we showing them? How are we shaping those around us just by the things we say? Just by the words we speak. What things are we saying to those around us? What things are we saying to the people we love or the people we don't know on the streets? Because everything we say has a cause or has an effect. I'm teaching my grandchildren about cause and effect, about blessing and about cursing. Because it's important. We are touching the lives of literally hundreds of people in any given month. How are we touching those lives? Hallelujah. How are we shaping those lives? Does someone have a better experience at the grocery store simply because you told them how great they looked? Or you told the checker, hey, take your time. It's a great day. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Your life is filled with purpose every minute of every day, of every day, of every week, of every day, of every month, of every month, of every year. It's a process filled with purpose. It's not just one big purpose and then, boom, it's done. It's over. You're just set on the side. Everything God is doing in you and in your life, and every way God is using you and your life, it's filled with purposes for His glory, opportunities for His glory to be revealed, moments where miracles happen and His glory is shining through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's not just for you and today, but it's for tomorrow and your children and for their children. When you're in the middle of this process, don't get discouraged. Lift up your eyes to heaven, to where the Lord is. Lift your eyes up to Him and know that where you are today is not where you are going. This is not the end of the road. It's just a step in the path, in the process of where God is taking you and I. You know, it says in the Word in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bless you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You know, the trials of today suck the hope right out of you. You know, the struggles that we go through today, it just sucks the hope right out. And we become kind of like the walking dead. You know, we're just shuffling along sometimes, just trying to get through the day. You know, we might at somebody here and there, might spew a little death here and there. But the Lord doesn't want that, because that's not what He sees. When He sees us, He sees the purpose. He sees what He's forming us to be for His glory and for His purposes. Don't be discouraged with where you are. Don't be discouraged in the middle of the trial. Lift your eyes to heaven and begin to glorify the Maker of the heavens and the earth, and know that where He's taking you is a good place. It's a great place. You know, my grandkids are going to always remember when Mimi and Papa Scott came to live with them. They'll never forget that. We can't pack our bags for a weekend without them. Hey, where are you going? You're not going back to Mexico, are you? They want us there. Their life has changed. And they love having family around them. And that's a beautiful thing. It's changing them and it's shaping them. And that effect will grow out. I imagine one day my grandsons will tell stories of when Grandma Mimi lived with them when they were little boys and taught them school. You know, maybe I'll be telling a story to one of their children one day, and they'll remember, oh, I remember when Grandma Mimi used to tell me stories. She used to tell me all about Jesus. There's a greater purpose than what we even can know and understand in the process. We can't go from that to the sculpture Venus or David without a little chiseling and hammering. We got to go through it. You know, clay does not become beautiful masterpieces without being fired. So So however we want to look at it, our life is a masterpiece of the master artist that there ever was, of the greatest artist there ever was. And he is working in us and through us that his glory might be revealed in us, not just for the here and now, but for our children. Do you know, I'm going to tell this one more thing before I close. Do you know that I went to Mexico when I was in my early 30s? And before I ever went to Mexico, when my aunt was in her early 20s, Sharon, she went to Mexico before me. She went to Mexico and sowed seeds. And the ground that she walked on, I then later walked on. I am her descendant. I am of the family line. She's not my mom, but her relationship to me is what was Abram and Lot's relationship. And she walked the land of Mexico before me. And years later, this was when she was, let's say, starting at 20, well, like 20 to 23. Then years later, when I was 32 or 33, I went to Mexico, the place where she had been before me. Imagine that. That is, before God sent her, he knew he was going to send her. He knew he was going to send me. And he was preparing the way for us to go. That is amazing and intricate, but that's how God works. Oh, praise the Lord. That's how he works. That's how he's working in your lives right now, right this minute. And how you walk for Jesus, how you live for Jesus, how you speak for Jesus matters. Don't be afraid of the process. Just lift your eyes and know that this isn't where it stays, that you're going forward, that you're claiming ground in the name of Jesus for the glory of the King. But as we're doing it for the glory of the King, the Lord is preparing territories for our children and our grandchildren. That is an amazing thing, praise the Lord. So don't lose hope. Don't be discouraged in the process. Know that something beautiful is coming out of it. Something beautiful is coming out of this rock. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Let's close with prayer this evening. Praise the Lord. If you are watching tonight, I just want to say thank you and a big God bless you. And if you're in the middle of a difficult place and a difficult process, lift your eyes to the heavens and call out to your Lord. And he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Because as the song says, he is the way maker. It's what he does. Thank you so very much for tuning in. A big God bless you. We're going to close with prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We just thank you for your purposes. Lord, we thank you that we may have started out this huge chunk of stone, immovable and unformable and unshapable. But thank you, Father, Lord, that in your hands, that rock becomes a masterpiece. Thank you, Father, that we are your masterpieces, that you are working in our lives for your glory and for your purposes, Lord. And we are just so, so, so very grateful, Father. Lord, just shape us to be what you'd have us to be. Move in us and work in us according to your great plan and according to your purposes, Father. And Lord, to you be all the glory and all the honor forever and forever in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for tuning in tonight. God bless you.